says, "Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters. For God speaketh once, yea twice, yet man perceives it not." Now watch this. Verse 15. "In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, and slumberings upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword, because he hid pride from men." That's verse 18. "He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones." I'm going to keep going. Tom Horn stopped at verse 18. But there's a lesson in this. "He is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain, so that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul dainty meat. His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near to the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand, to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him, and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom." That's Jesus. But it's prophesied, "His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh unto man, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, because he repented, and his life shall see light. Lo, these things worketh God oftentimes with man, to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will speak. If thou hast anything to say, answer me, speak, for I desire to justify thee. If not, hearken unto me. Hold thy peace, and I will teach thee wisdom." Now God showed Tom Horn the future, but he sealed it from him. And then he revealed it as he needed in order, according to verse 17, that he may withdraw, verse 16, that he openeth the ears of man and seals their instruction, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from men. Very important. God can build on love, not pride. It's very important to understand these things, because he's moving by his spirit. He loves us very much, and he's going to help us to grow from glory to glory. But the pride problem have not been addressed many times. And because it's there, God has to seal information from them, use them as much as possible so that they don't make a mess of things, and find people that don't have pride in their heart. That's why these last few broadcasts, especially the ones that today is, Thursday, the ones we did this week, are so important to the harvest. It's important for the reapers of the harvest, and also the harvest that comes to know God and they're young in the Lord. Because people get in pride, they are limited. If they don't deal with it, and it will take going in God's presence, it will take receiving his word, renewing how you think, trusting God, it can take a while to repent right, to drive it out of your life. But I thank God that he can hide pride from us and use us in spite of it, and so that we don't make a mess. In order to be more anointed, it's going to take a greater anointing than what people have already to win this crowd out there now. Because you got to break through the ranks of the enemy. The enemy's been working to reduce people into nothing. people are, you know, Paul put it this way, in the last days, men will become lovers of themselves, head of high mind, full of pride, basically. And now you gotta be anointed. You gotta hate pride to have the anointing to break that kind of pride. You can't have pride in your heart and go up against the pride of the world. It will not work. God can't use you that way. You gotta rejoice when others do well. You gotta rejoice to see people do better than you. You gotta rejoice when people give a word that you can't give. Or God cannot use you the same way. I don't know a clearer way to put it. The Lord takes great measures to help us hide pride from us. But once you know better, see, John revealed that the world system itself is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So, in my situation, I asked the Lord to teach me how to love people. I didn't ask him to show me how to get rid of pride. I didn't even know to do that. But when lust was a problem, I asked him how to kill that. And I didn't think of pride as being a problem because it didn't bother me when other people did well. But when I saw that God hated pride more than lust, I asked the Lord to help me hate pride even more than I already did. And as I walked in his love, I learned things. I received revelation over the years, and it helped me to not be in pride. I used God's strength, not Thurston's strength. I used God's strength to do this. See, God loves all of his people. And it goes back to what Paul told Titus. He said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now, when you see Jesus about to die for his people in the upper room after they ate the Passover, Jesus washed their feet and taught them how the kingdom of God operates. He taught them that he that is first shall be last, he that is last shall be first. But in the kingdom of God, he pointed out that in the world men exercise authority over people. He said, but it won't be that way among you. Whoever is the greatest will be the greatest servant. And he explained these things after he washed their feet. He gave them a concept that they could never forget. So they were trained. That's why when the Holy Spirit came, we hear Peter saying, this is that. He's anointed. There's no pride in him. There's no fear in him. He was like a man that broke through. He was like a man that broke through the jungle of evil. And he has full victory. In chapter 4, after he healed the lame man, and the lame man believed, and the wicked, proud Pharisees, they wanted to stop this. But they saw that these men were ignorant men, and they had been with Jesus. And when they saw the lame man standing next to Peter and James and John, or Peter and John, they could say nothing against it. And they couldn't hurt them because the crowd would have hurt them. So they tried to bully them into not saying, teaching in Jesus' name. But Peter said, I can't but speak. So the wickedness is here. The wickedness that was on the Pharisees have transcended through every generation, and even men of God now that never dealt with the pride problem, they still get in pride, and it limits what God can do in their life. These were concepts I couldn't identify with because he had taught me how to love, he taught me other things, and I rejoiced to see people do what Jesus would have them do. Way back then, in the early 90s, He taught me to love people in 87. He taught me to break through in 88. He taught me principles after principle after principle. In my mind, I'm thinking everybody's learning like that. But in the 90s, when the Lord started sending me, in 91, when he started sending me to pastors, I said, why is he sending me? I'm just getting started. I didn't understand this. But time went by. In 92, he told me what kind of preacher I was. He said, you're a chief apostle to the church. I'm like, why me? My life is already complicated. Then in 94, I think it was, when he showed me the dream about the spider. I thank God for all the things. He helped me understand. He worked with me step by step. I don't say these things to look some kind of great way or something. I'm saying these things for one reason. It's a hidden trump card problem. You know, pride is Satan's trump card. I'm not talking about the president. I love president. I believe, I'm going to say it right now as clear as I know how to. I believe Donald Trump is the best president in my lifetime. And I love John F. Kennedy. But I think that, I believe that Donald Trump was one of the best. And I know people don't like him. But see, the media that they listen to is controlled propaganda anyway. I know I was there. I lived 2016, 17, 18, 19. I was there. I saw this country transform. When I used to drive down Airport Highway, I remember seeing the office parks and business parks, just a few cars out there. The first year he's in office, where there were 8 cars, it's 30. People started working again. He made better deals. I remember when they formed NAFTA, the NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement. It was a hardship on the companies of our country. We started outsourcing things. He brought it back home. He made China pay their fair share. Gas went down, $1.80. I was there. I know better. If you watch the news, they'll poison your mind. See, if you listen to proud people, they'll control you. But if you listen to the Lord, if you bother to go to the Lord in prayer, your eyes will be open. And I'm sorry if people's eyes wouldn't. But so when I'm saying Trump, it has nothing to do with President Trump. But Satan has hidden pride. You know, God concealed it from us so we can't use it. We can operate in the grace that he gave us. But to go to a greater grace, you got to make sure it's gone. So the leaven of it is there. If it's there, God can't pour an anointing on there that will excite it, that will allow people to cause people to get in more pride, because they're going to produce people that are proud and God can't use them. So, see, when you're dealing with spiritual battle, you got to be clean before God. That's the point. You got to be like Jesus. You got to follow the Holy Ghost. You got to let him do a work in you. And there's no other way to do it. So, pride, that's why I say pride is Satan's trump card. He got an ace in the hole over there. And people don't know about it and how to kill it. And I listen to Revelation. I love Revelation. I'm not talking about the book. I'm talking about the book of Revelation, but I love all revelation that comes from the Holy Ghost to help us do better. People that have pride in their heart, there's a certain thing certain things they don't deal with. When I look at the revelation that's going forward, people that really love God, they don't care about the ways of men. They're not in fear, they're not in strife, they're not greedy, they're not lustful. Revelation flows through them, especially if they hate pride. And they do things that others can't do. And because they're pure in their heart, they will see God. They will understand him. They will portray him perfectly. Perfectly. But they didn't have an ounce of pride in their life, a leaven of pride. They struggle. And they can't be anointed any more than they already are. And the Lord works with us. I thank God for all the ministers that blessed me, even the ones that didn't go to the next glory. I'm still standing on their shoulders because I learned from every pastor God sent me to. But I also know that they couldn't go forward like God desired them to, because they didn't deal with the pride problem. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our wonderful Lord.